is a joyful company.
And we give you all the glory in the name of Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, let the tangible power of your Spirit engage everyone that is a part of this service. Life is superior to death, and the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of life. So Lord, whatever it is that is there, it may be a dream, it may be a cell of the body, let your power bring them back to life. It may even be a relationship. Let there be a miracle of resurrection. In this service, let there be healing. In this service, let there be deliverance. In this service, give peace where there has been anxiety. Heavenly Father, touch each person in a special way. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. You remember the psalmist said, I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. I know you came here today with joy in your heart and with expectation. In the name of Jesus Christ, no one goes back home with a prayer point. In this service, it turns into a testimony. In the name of Jesus Christ. All right, Matthew chapter 6. Verses 7 to 13, New King James Version. We continue our discussions from last week. Matthew 6, verses 7 to 13. Matthew chapter 6, verses 7 to 13. Are you there? All right, let's go. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. In this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. All right, we'll continue our discussions on the topic prayer. Communication with God. Prayer, communication with God. We emphasized last week that the foundation for prayer is a relationship, because prayer is simply communication with God. Communication is the lifeblood of a relationship. So, we said, for many people, prayer connotes the work that you do to get work. I mean, the work or activity that you do to get God to do the things that we want him to do. Answer our prayers, grant our petitions, move on our behalf. But, we said that the emphasis has to be placed on the relationship. When two people are in a relationship and they love each other, they like to be together and they like to share. They like to share what's going on in their hearts and in their lives with each other. See, no two relationships are the same. None. And that's why each person's relationship with God is unique. So, it's a bit difficult to create a formula for prayer or some strict rules for prayer. If it is communication, even as a parent, you and I know A child is introverted, another child is extroverted. The way they communicate with you as a parent is different. One communicates excitedly, talks a lot, you know, tells you the details of everything going on in his or her life. The other one is a bit quiet, probably hugs more, probably. Both are expressing love, but in different ways. The God that created us with diversity himself does not expect every single person to pray exactly the same way. Prayer is communication with God. So the first thing is, when two people love each other, when they're in a relationship, they miss each other when they are not together. They long for each other's presence. So that should be the starting point for a Christian. Do you desire, do you long for God's presence? Think about it. Of all the relationships that you have, of all the people that you know, who is the most powerful? Who should have the greatest influence on your life? And by the way, who's loved you the most? If, as a Christian, you are not sensing a desire to be with God, something is missing. Something is missing. Okay? God loves you. God loves to hang out with you. This whole deal about creating man right from scratch was for fellowship. You are God's object of love. And that's why when something went wrong, okay, when something went wrong from Adam, God sent his son Jesus Christ to do what? To reconcile us to himself. We read that last week, 2 Corinthians 5, verses 16 to 18. Reconciliation. That's all God wants. Reconciliation. He wants this relationship built back. God likes to hear your voice. Your voice makes him happy. Just so you would know how important it is for us to hang out with God. You know, when we read in the Bible that people prayed for long periods of prayer, especially Jesus, it's amazing that we have created, you know, structures out of that. Okay, so a great while before they, Mark 1:35, he went to a solitary place and there he prayed. And in Matthew 14, we hear he sent the crowds away after feeding the multitude. And then he went up to the mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. Amazing. Now we create structures out of that. But for Jesus, it was not a structure. It was just simply that he went to spend time with the Father. And he enjoyed it. He enjoyed it. And the time extended, and the time extended, and the time extended. Have you ever been with someone that you really like being with, and it was time to go, but you did not want to go? In fact, have you ever had cause to extend the time before? Of course, there must be someone here that just fell in love. You understand what I'm talking about? You just add another 10 minutes. Okay, let's add another 20 minutes. Okay, let's add another 30 minutes. I think that was what Jesus was doing all through the night. Enjoy the presence of the Father. And then, when you hear the word prayer, some people don't believe that you are praying yet until they hear you, and until they hear you loud and clear. And I said, hold on. I mean, when I talk to my dad or I talk to my mom, I don't shout. Okay? Because Jesus warned that we should be careful that we don't pray like has the heathen do. He said that they think they will be heard for their many words. He said that they make vain repetitions. I don't talk to my mom and then repeat the same phrase 20 times. This thing is a relationship. You know, I draw people's attention once in a while to Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20. And God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we may ask or think. And I tell people, it was very relieving for me as someone that does not like to talk all the time. When I saw think placed on the same platform with ask, then it dawned on me that the daddy that I am sharing with does not have human ears. He has the capacity to hear my thoughts as loud as he hears my words. What makes your words prayer? What makes your word prayer? It's simply the fact that it's directed towards God. I speak to somebody else, it's just two of us conversing. Once I begin to talk to God, that's what we call prayer. And so when your thoughts are directed towards God, he hears them. Psalm 66 verse 18, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. All right. So, please keep that in mind. Prayer is communication with God. The foundation for prayer is a relationship. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ that your intimacy with God will deepen this season in the name of Jesus Christ. All right. So what will prayer produce in our lives? That's the first one. Prayer deepens intimacy with God. Prayer deepens our intimacy with God. Proximity is the key to impact. If you don't hang around somebody, you can't know them. You can't rub off on them, and they can't rub off on you. Prayer produces intimacy with God. Let's read an example. Exodus 33 from verse 12. Now that's a long passage, but we'll walk through it. Exodus 33. Verse 12. Then Moses said to the Lord, see, you say to me, bring up these people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. Yet you have said, I know you by name, and you have also found grace in my sight. Now therefore, I pray, if I have found grace in your sight, show me now your way, that I may know you, and that I may find grace in your sight, and consider that this nation is your people. And he said, that is God replying now, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. Then he said to him, that is Moses, if your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here. For how then will it be known that your people and I have found grace in your sight, except you go with us? So we shall be separate, your people and I, from all the people who are upon the face of the earth. 17. So the Lord said to Moses, I will also do this thing that you have spoken, for you have found grace in my sight, and I know you by name. And he said, that's Moses now, please, show me your glory. Then he, that is God, said, I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. But he said, you cannot see my face, for no man shall see me and live. And the Lord said, here is a place by me, and you shall stand on the rock. So it shall be, while my glory passes by, that I will put you in the cleft of the rock, and will cover you with my hand while I pass by. Then I will take away my hand, and you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen. My, oh my. My, oh my. Thank you, Lord Jesus. This is prayer. The first thing you observe here is it's a conversation. Two, see, it's not a monologue, it's a dialogue. It's not a monologue, it's a dialogue. You know, I like it. How does your child discuss with you? Or how do you discuss with your parents? Or how did you used to discuss with your parents as a child? See, I love this conversation. I love the richness of this conversation. And Moses here is pushing the boundary. Moses here is pushing the boundary. If it is true I found favor in your sight, do this. If it is true that you love me, do this. He says, I will do it. If it is true I found favor in your sight, then don't let us go up alone. We need your presence to go with us. He said, I will go with you and I will give you rest. He said, okay. Then Moses now pushes it to the limit. Lord, but I thought we were close. I thought we were close. If truly we are close, he said, show me your glory. I want to see you. And you know the amazing thing? God didn't say no. God didn't say no. He said, No. You are limited as a human being. You see, the problem here is, if you see me the way I am, you'll go and tell people. You'll draw it. Somebody will create it, carve it. They'll begin to worship that. They won't worship me. Nobody will see me and leave. Once you see me the way I am, I'll take you over to this side. Okay? They say, you know what I'll do? I'll make you stand on a rock. I'll cover you with my hand. He said, I'll pass by, then I'll take the hand so that you can see something. But it won't be the real thing. My, oh my. I love this conversation. That's just what I want to say. I want to be able to discuss with God. Prayer, but intimacy. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ that God will not be to you the person that your pastor spoke about. He becomes to you the person you have known and proven yourself. You see, I tell people, I've had remarkable things happen in my life. And, you know, if I tell somebody, they would say, oh, it was a coincidence. I mean, God tells you something or he inspires a thought in your heart and mind. It happens exactly the way he said it would do. It would happen. Is that coincidence? Then I said, if you say that is a coincidence, then how about when it happens consistently in your life like that? You know, I was going to have a meeting some time ago with someone. And the Holy Spirit told me or showed me what would happen right there. And I told someone. I said, this place that I am going, this is what the Holy Spirit showed me would happen. I went there. It happened exactly the same way. Then I told that person. I relayed what happened. It was perfectly in sync. In fact, the person said, oh my God, I feel like falling down. He said, anybody that says the Holy Spirit does not exist is lying. I said, that's it. When you walk with God, gradually and with time, you get to know him. Proximity is the key to intimacy. I mean, my sweetheart and I have been married now 26 years. If you put her in a room, I can't see her face. If she speaks, I'll recognize the voice any day, any time, probably even from sleep. It's with time intimacy. She can almost practically predict me now. I can almost practically predict her. Proximity is the key to intimacy. Prayer, but intimacy with God. Secondly, prayer, but revelation. Prayer, but revelation. That when you hang with God, or let's even say you ask God a question, you converse with God. When you speak with God, fine, nothing happens. When he speaks, power flows. I have learned to ask God questions. I have learned to ask God questions. Whew. I should say this though. If prayer is going to bat revelations for you, then you've got to learn to listen. Prayer is not, you know, calling on God, starting the conversation, and then talking, and then saying, in Jesus' name, amen, and taking off. If you're going to enjoy your prayer life, there will be times when you keep short. Four dimensions to communication. Speaking, reading, writing, and the fourth one is listening. In primary school or elementary school, they taught me three. Yeah, there was oral English, you know, there was speaking, there was writing, okay, there was reading, but listening was not part of our curriculum. And I'll tell you, that listening is a big part of communication. If you don't listen right, you will not speak right. Have you observed that for most of us, when someone is speaking to us, we don't really pay attention to what we're saying. We focus more on what we will say after they are done. You can't do that with God. The focus can't be on you speaking. Let him talk. Let him speak. When he speaks, power flows. Things that have never existed before are created. There's creative power in his word. So Jeremiah 33 verse 3, he says, call unto me. He said, I will answer you and I will do. He said, I will show you great and mighty things that you don't know. January 2001, I asked God a question because I was looking at my goals for the year, looking at the goals of the church for the year. And I came by an attendance goal. We were 2,000 in number. And I said, Holy Spirit, how do we increase attendance to 5,000? Because I saw the church double in attendance. I did not receive an instant answer, so I wrote the question on my notebook. I still remember it was the last page. How do we increase attendance from 2,000 to 5,000? It was March. First Sunday in March. I was preparing to come to church. In fact, I was having my bath as water rolled down my body. I just, you know, it was a spontaneous thought. And you know that? That's part of the major things, isn't it? Because some people say, I don't hear when God speaks. So I ask them, do you hear when the devil speaks to you? The answer is always yes. People hear the devil more than they hear God. Oh, well, you have to check why. Maybe you fellowship more with somebody than somebody else. I don't want to say negative things. But I ask people, so how does the devil speak to you? They say, in my mind. He gives me thoughts. He gives me ideas. Bad ideas to tempt me to do bad things. I say, fine. Satan is a spirit. God is a spirit. The same way Satan speaks to you in your mind is the way God speaks to you in your mind. The important thing is, when you hang out with God long enough, you will be able to recognize his voice. Anyway, so I hear spontaneous thought in my heart. Organize your Sunday service as if you are preparing for a party. I just thought, what? Party? A social party? I'm asking about a Sunday church service, worship. What is the correlation between a worship service and a party? Then I got stuck. All through the week, the thought kept coming to my mind. Party, party, party and worship service, party. And then the next Sunday, amazingly, I was same spot in the bathroom. As water came down my body, the same thought came spontaneous. Organize your Sunday service as if you're preparing for a party. How could the same thought come again, same spot, same time? I said, well, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. Maybe this is the Spirit of God speaking. I said, okay, wait. Okay, so if I was to organize a party, what would I do? Oh, I will rent tents. We call that canopies around here. And I will rent chairs. The Holy Spirit said, exactly. Make people comfortable in the service. I said, oh. I will cook food. He said, exactly. The food is the word. Make sure you get fresh revelation to serve people in the service. I said, whoa. I'll provide music. He said, yeah, that's the worship. Make sure people get good quality worship. I said, wow. Then he asked me a question. So what will happen if you cook all that food but you forget to invite people? I said, I will have to eat the food myself. He said, exactly. Compel them to come in. Compel them to come in. Then he said, when they have come, what would you do? I said, oh, I'll stand up from my table once in a while, go around the tables and say, thank you for coming. Thank you for coming. You know, in our local language, we say, Esheku Dideo. You know, thank you for coming. Thank you for coming. He said, fine. So who told you that all your pastors must sit down through the service? I said, that's how we met it. He said, tell them to stand up during the service. Let them walk around. Make sure everybody's carefully taken care of. They are the ones that understand this vision the best. I said, oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. So he said, okay, so after people have left, what will you do? I said, I'll call them on the phone to say thank you for coming. He said, go hard after people when they come to the church. I said, thank you, Lord Jesus. And by then I was done and ran out of the house, you know, dressed up, ran out of the house. I got to church. Worship started. I stood up, took my Bible and my notebook. I was about to go downstairs. The Holy Spirit said, stop. Ideas can develop wings and fly away. You use your pencil to capture them. So I quickly wrote the points on my notebook. Tuesday at the management meeting, then I was sharing the experience, this remarkable experience, you know, with our pastors. When I got to the point where I said, compel them to come in, I said, wait, that statement is in the Bible. So I went into the Bible. And I saw it. I found it. Luke 14. A certain man made a great supper. I said, supper? That's a party. Why did I think the Holy Spirit would not know what a party looks like? What am I saying? Prayer backs revelation. In the name of Jesus Christ. Whew. I prophesy in Jesus' name. When you set yourself apart, you know, to pray, or you ask a question from the Holy Spirit, this season, you will get answers in the mighty name of Jesus. Heaven will answer the questions on your heart right now. Anyone here that has been stranded, the days of being stranded are over forever in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. For a moment, can you just talk to God yourself? Can you tell him you want to be close to him? You want to be intimate with him? Speak to him. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Can you just speak to him that you want a close relationship? Thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. That question that's been on your mind, can you ask him right now? You receive not because you ask not. Amazing. You ask and you receive not because you ask amiss. Thank you, Heavenly Father. In the mighty name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, we're grateful. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. Thank you for the opportunity of having a relationship with you. Heavenly Father, turn every prayer point into a testimony. Turn every question into an answer. Turn every obstacle into an opportunity for a miracle in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, reveal yourself to someone here in the name of Jesus. Show up in unmistakable ways in our lives, in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray for the person present in this service who says my relationship with God is not okay. I need God to forgive me my sins. Every human being was born a sinner. And Proverbs 15:8 says that the prayer or the sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to God, but the prayer of the righteous is your delight. You want us free from sin, so you sent Jesus to die for us on the cross. Father, in Jesus' name, as we pray together right now for forgiveness of sins, thank you because you love us and you forgive us. So if you're that honest person who's saying, I'm a sinner, my relationship is not okay with God, can you please put your hand on your heart? I want to say a short prayer with you. God bless you. God, every human being was born a sinner. Nothing to be ashamed about, absolutely. But someday you hear the truth like this, you respond to it, and you start a loving relationship with God. If you're that honest person, can you put your hand on your heart? I can't be lying. I'm a sinner. My relationship with God is not okay. I need God to forgive my sins. If your hand is on your heart, can you please stand by your seat? We'll be done in 1 minute or less. Can you stand? If you're part of the service online, you want to join the prayer, also put your hand on your heart. Can you say this prayer after me? Dear God, I believe that Jesus paid for my sins. So I ask you to forgive me and to accept me as your child. I want to be close to you. I want to know you more. Show me your glory. In Jesus' name. Let me pray for you. Lord, we thank you for our brothers and sisters that said this prayer. Thank you because we know their sins are forgiven right now. Thank you because the nature of sin has been removed from them and your own nature is in them now. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We give you the praise. We give you the glory. And we thank you because you will teach them to love you and to love other people.